If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Can I stroke us off for just a minute?
Well, I'll pull my pants down.
That's twice as long as I need.
Well, you know.
Continue.
I feel it's important to stroke our egos off every once in a while.
Okay.
You know, if you're somebody who's just tuned into us in the last, I don't know, 100 episodes or so.
We don't apologize.
You may have missed this, but it was over a year ago now when this big shreds company was dominating the social media platforms, and just everybody was wanted to be a part of it. And I believe we were the first ones to call bullshit on a lot of stuff. And after we had came out on the radio and started announcing, more and more stuff started. And just recently, in the last 60 to 90 days, I would say, I feel like they are just under fire right
now. Here's what happened, just because I want to protect us legally.
Right.
We call out a lot of companies that exemplify what we don't like in the fitness industry, you know, posting these models and making these outlandish claims and whatever. We've never taken their supplements ourselves, but we're just like, it's like if you're going to talk about fast food, what do you think about McDonald's, right? These were the social media giants. And I think we just made it. We made people who already saw the bullshit like we did,
a little more vocal,
the ridiculousness about it. They felt comfortable now,
right?
And so now all kinds of people are talking shit and stuff. So I feel kind of bad.
I do feel a little bad.
I feel a little bad
because it wasn't like our mission was to try.
No, we're not trying to take anybody down.
No. We're not doing that. What we were trying to do. They were a perfect example of what we represent. What we try and say is like, okay, listen, this is what, you know, companies do, and it was like, here's a perfect example. If you're on Instagram, here's a company.
Yeah, we're talking about their advertising, their marketing strategies, which are what the fitness industry does, which is ridiculous. Which, I mean, they probably own, I don't know how many Instagram pages that feed each other and post their athletes you know, talk about this, that, and the other, and take this product because it speeds up your metabolism.
Dude, but if your company is a house of cards, eventually it's going to crumble. That's not our fault.
What's happened is and what we're getting tagged, and I mean, now, I don't know about you guys, but I know every day I get on, I've probably got 30 to 50 tags of people that are calling out shreds on these things that they've done, whether it be, you know, Arvin was a stripper guy before and he's friends with Mike from whatchamacallit.
That's
from,
what people are saying on
from
Instagram.
Jersey Shore. Some people have
it's
been
like dirty politics.
Oh, all kinds of stuff. And then sharing like their pictures that they're using, their transformation pictures on people.
Yeah.
There's people that are coming forward now and saying that they never gave them the approval to even use those pictures and that
this is all hearsay. We're going to, just to be clear, this is all hearsay. No, we don't know if this is accurate, but this is what people are tagging us and saying.
Hey, stop being so scared. Stop being such a pussy.
Huh? I'm saying
what I'm being tagged in and what I'm reading. I'm not making any claims. I didn't run any tests. I'm not trying to say the company is this or that. I'm telling you, all the stuff that I've been reading and what people have been tagging me in are these things. I'm reporting, bro.
And here's
stop being scared.
Yeah, the painfully obvious like, what I've been doing as far as like tongue in cheek jabs, like, you know, created this alternate company, Pumps, right? And why I did that is because it's like satire. Okay, I'm going to just be completely clear about that.
Yeah.
Some people don't understand that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like that's the best way to depict things that are wrong. And you see this a lot, like with the Colbert Report, and you see this like with smart newscasting or The Onion or you know, these things that they jab at processes and things that they see within their industry or their reporting or whatever that's just fucking absurd.
Dude,
and that's what shreds is. It's absurd.
But
guess what? You know, like, I'm jabbing at that purposefully, like tongue in cheek. It's not harmful. It's not taking names. It's not taking the exact image of, you know, these athletes that they have. I'm not condemning them. It's not them. Yeah. It's what that represents.
Well, that's intelligent humor. Some people aren't going
to
get that.
I know, but that's why I had to like just say that.
No, I know. I want everybody to know that. I know. A lot of people have been confused, and I think that's too. That's where people are getting mixed up. That we've been getting tagged on all these. It is not our style. There are pages out there. I've seen them now where are solely dedicated to attacking people like this. I mean, they are going
I don't like being bullied.
Yeah, they're taking pictures. They're zooming in on all the athletes.
All the photoshopping
that's happening and stuff like that. And you know, hey, to each their own. If you're going to do that and get after him, fuck it. Get him. Cause him hell. But that's not our style. That's not where...
That's your thing.
Our thing was to make people aware, to have some fun with it, laugh about it. I just think it's kind of funny because before we started doing that, I don't know, over a year ago, I didn't see anything start coming. And now they're being bombarded.
Oh, dude, this is the beginning. We call it the revolution. This is the beginning. People are starting to call out the bullshit in the industry. And it's not just them. It's not just that company. It's lots of other companies.
Yeah.
People are calling it out. People are starting to say, hold on a second. You know, you don't take the supplements you're pushing. We know what you take. And that's not what make you look that way. And we know these pictures are fake. And people are angry, dude.
Body creams aren't going to give you fat loss, you know.
Bro, like, shut the fuck up. People are fucking angry, and they should be angry. They've been lied to, and they've been ripped off, and they feel like shit, and people's metabolisms are screwed up, and they've been getting these freaking stupid diet plans from these idiots that should not. We had someone on the forum the other day. I'm not going to call out any names, but they got a diet plan from one of these quote-unquote athletes. They're not fucking athletes. I'll call them idiots. And they sent them this diet plan, and I looked at this, and I'm like, this is fucking insane. This is going to make you eat 250 grams of protein a day, and you're a 130-pound female. This is horrible. This is bad for you. I mean, how is this even legal? It's craziness. It's crazy, and it's all backfiring.
It's technically not legal.
Yeah, it isn't.
You can't do that. Unless you're a registered dietitian, you can't be giving out nutrition. You can't give out like that. That's why, I mean, it was one of the reasons why even when we created our nutrition guide, it's a guide to help people.
That's,
you know,
an excellent point. That's something that, like, a lot of people don't understand the distinctive difference there. Like, that's why you do have to be careful. If you're not a registered dietitian, if you're not a nutrition, like, certified nutritionist, you got to be really careful about the vocabulary you use. And especially if you're going to prescribe like a macronutrient ratio.
I think legally you can guide, you can't prescribe.
Like if you're coaching and you're saying, this is from my experience, this is what I...
Yeah, but the verbiage is very important.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Very few quote-unquote trainers take that step to do that, to say, hey, I am not a nutritionist. I'm not this. This is what I follow. This is something you could try. Or no one says it like that. They say, here's your meal plan.
You know what's funny?
Here's your meal plan.
Exactly.
These people have zero business prescribing diet. They have just as equal business prescribing workout.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I know.
It's the same.
Exactly the same.
They're prescribing shit. They're prescribing you crap. They know exercises, and they know what proteins, fats, and carbs are, and that is what their qualifications are to tell you what to eat and what to do. And then when it comes to supplements, they don't know what the fuck that's in the bottles that they're selling either. You asked them. I went on one of these pages a while ago, and I was asking the guy legitimate like questions about the ingredients of their supplements. Like, well, what does this do? How does this work? And you could tell the guy was going off a script and had no idea what I was talking about. It's scary, man, and people are taking this by the bottle.
The next question is, I wonder when we see, so we're starting to see the backlash with the supplements. And a little bit of the nutrition side. When's the backlash going to be on these workout programs? These ridiculous workout.
It follows. It's following.
Yeah, I think that's after. You know, we'll go through all this stuff first. But I don't know how many people, you know, inbox me or tell me that, you know, oh, I bought so and so some, you know, fitness celebrities, you know, regimen or workout, and I've been following it. You know, I've gotten pretty good results off of it, but now I've plateaued really hard, and I'm like, well, yeah, no shit. I've seen their regimen, man. Like, how are you going to progress from that? Once you get adapted to that, I mean, unless you're a maniac or you got an extra hour you can put in every single day to the gym, like, it's going to be tough to continue to evolve from that. And there's no thought process behind a lot of these programs that are designed. It doesn't even deserve to be called a program. You know, it's a workout that
it's
they...
It's a list of exercises.
It's a hardcore
it's
workout.
It's a WOD.
Yeah, it's a WOD. Yeah, yeah. Great. That's a great term for it. It's just a fucking WOD. It's a WOD of shit is what it is. It's a WOD of shit.
I created it in my pants.
Well, yeah. here's something. So we just aired an episode. You just totally reminded me of this. We just aired an episode where we interviewed Craig Caperso.
Yeah.
And Craig, you know, he's been dieting real hard. Poor guy's trying to lose muscle as well as fat, trying to make weight. And he was referring to workout programs as ice cream flavors. And he said he had referred to MAPS as it's just a different ice cream flavor. I would like to clarify. That's false. If MAPS, in fact, is an ice cream flavor, it's fucking delicious and it's the best one you want to eat every single day.
That's exactly how I wrote the forum.
But the truth is, and it's funny because all of our forum members that heard that episode got angry when he said that.
Yeah.
And we tried to clarify a little bit on the episode, but we want to be respectful to our guests.
Yeah, of course.
But the reality is this. MAPS was created with excellent programming from three trainers with lots of experience. It's concepts. There are sample workouts in there. But what we leave in there and what we encourage is modifications based off of individual goals, preferences, and how your body responds. That's the key. That's the kicker that really makes it.
Yeah, and we consider like corrective corrective exercises and ways to get that intertwined into the programming from a subtle perspective, but also like we're addressing things in each one of these phases that's very specific.
Right. And this is why people have had overwhelming success with this program, with all of our programs, because we make sure to include that so that if somebody sees something that, you know, this exercise isn't right for me, there's a method and a way utilizing the concepts that we understand we put in the program for them to modify and for them to put into their own program. Well, and so people have excellent results. What's the number one thing we see on these testimonials? What are people saying? I went from working out 6 days a week in the gym to being in the gym 3 days a week, and I've had better results in the last 3 months than I had in the previous 5 years.
Well, it's like steering people right back to, you know, a lot of like sound reason and logic, you know, and it's like that hasn't been sexy for a long time. And I feel like, you know, even just the proper programming for rest periods and recovery and, you know, mobility and things, how to move the body properly, you know, how to address things, how to really pay attention to your body and what you're doing, how you're responding, how we then pull you out of this specialty that we're trying to focus on as far as an adaptation goes, how we're moving you into the next one. So it's like this constant evolution that your body's going through. I don't see that in any other thing I've seen.
No. I know that's why I fired everybody up with the whole ice cream comment and stuff like that. Poor Craig, you know, got roasted on our forum because of that. That's another thing too, is that we knew that we had to create a platform somewhere too, where we could create this community where people could come in and share the challenges they may be having or issues that they have with their body, and leave all this room for modification and evolution to everything that we've created. So not only is there all this science to what we're specifically doing in each and every phase, plus abilities to modify things, then on top of that, there's a community where you can come and share, hey, I've been going through this, I feel this, I noticed this, or does anybody have something like this that works well for them? And it started with us giving all the answers, but we've built this community now of intelligent, like-minded people that have gone through and have either gone through all of our programs, have listened to all the mind pumps, have starting to read studies on the self. Now you got all these really smart people that understand it and are learning how to program design for themselves and are giving each other advices and tips.
Dude, we have something like almost 100 trainers on the forum. I mean, like a ridiculous amount of trainers. And then they now are programming workouts for their clients based on some of the concepts. And they're getting great results. You can see some of these testimonials at mindpumpmedia.com.
Oh, that's right. Dev's here to put those up.
They're all up there now. Yeah. So,
oh, they're not all up there. I know
Well, there's a lot that are on there. Yeah, I should say. So anyway.
Hey, wait. Did you hear that?
What? It's a motherfucking
qual. Whoa, that was majestic.
It's the motherfucking qual.
Yeah.
Bring it, Doug.
All right. Beginning with Dom Dima. How do you recommend integrating mobility into a workout program since we talk about mobility so much?
You paint it green.
Yeah. This was
absolutely.
This was a major factor that we put in Green MAPS, aka MAPS Performance. This was something, you know, me and Adam have a decent understanding of mobility, but this is really Justin's expertise. And we made sure to, you know, just drain his brain of all the information and knowledge he has on this. And it's an integral part of the program. If you're incorporating mobility into your workout, you know, as I knew before, but also as I've learned even more as I've gone along and continued working with these fine gentlemen, mobility should be a part of your programming. It should not be thrown in after the fact, after I've injured myself or whatever. So I would say do mobility type movements almost every single workout. You know, so
yeah, absolutely. And that's true. It became one of those things for me that was even more of a priority as I got older. And it's true. Like if you want to listen to people that have gone through all this experience, and you acquire a lot of wisdom. And so this is one of the sort of insights that I had as far as training intensity goes. Like, so this is where I also see an issue when I see people like so focused on intensity, and I see things like CrossFit where maybe they do incorporate mobility, but what they're doing is they're trying to compensate for that. So what they're doing is they're going super high demand, but now I can actively mobility the shit out of myself to get back to doing it, you know, as opposed to
interesting point.
Yeah, so it's like this. So they use like Band-Aid.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like a Band-Aid that they're trying to put on their high intensity, like over demanding type of a regimen. And whereas for me, this is really an important aspect of fitness that I feel like I finally has really communicated to me, being an ex-athlete, that I wish I would have had. Prior knowledge to when I was playing, I would have benefited a lot more from it, because my performance would have been so much more impactful when I needed it, right? I'm not trying to get myself in a position where I'm just always going for that demanding intensity, and I'm always trying to achieve like another PR like every single time. I want to do it when I need it. And so like that was something within the program where, you know, we're implementing, sure, there's demanding workouts, you know, there's demanding workouts, but now, you know, the overall prescription for like how we designate our intensity days versus, you know, our days where we're focused more on mobility being strength and flexibility. I'm trying to increase range of motion. I'm also in the mindset of, how can I improve my movement? How can this translate to my body functioning on demand at an even greater rate than it's ever been?
So. That's an interesting point. So here's what I get out of this. Most people confuse mobility training for corrective exercise.
Mm-hmm.
They're different.
Yep.
Corrective exercise is to correct an imbalance that is there. Maybe chronic pain.
That's
also very important, but you only use corrective exercise when a problem starts to arise. Mobility is to prevent you from getting there, and mobility is to improve performance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the difference. The difference is, one, you inject.
That's perfectly put. So.
Yeah. So one is there to, you inject to fix a chronic issue, and one is there to prevent chronic issues from happening and to improve performance. So mobility should always be there. And it can be as simple as, let's say I did 5 sets of heavy squats. It could be as simple as going super light on the 6th set and going really low and holding it down there and coming up into a full range of motion. That's an example of a mobility squat where I lighten the load way down. If I'm squatting 400 pounds, I'll go down to 100 pounds. Mm-hmm. So way, way less. And I'm doing these really good full range of motion squats at the end. That would be working on mobility for my squats, for example. So that it doesn't have to be super complicated is all I'm saying.
And if you think about it too, this is why it's such a nice pairing. Like when we talk about trigger sessions, you know, with the original MAPS anabolic, you're keeping that signal alive. And so that's something that you're still doing a lot of the similar movements that you do on your foundational day, but at a way less, you know, intensity. And what that does, it prioritizes that need, you know, for your body to respond to that and to overcome that. And so, you know, you grow stronger as a result.
Excellent.
Well, I think the mobility piece too is something that, the science has been around for quite some time. We've known the importance of this. The part that I love, and I'm so glad that you know, Justin worked on this and we created MAPS Performance, was you don't see it very often from a couple guys like us. I feel like there's two ends of the spectrum. You're either like the meathead buff guy, and that's what you talk about. That's the workouts you preach about. That it's all about this. It's all about that, right? And then you have the other extreme, the people that are all into functional moving, and they all look like these hippie fucking yoga guys,
right,
that do all these very cool mobile moves. I mean, they do all this cool shit that's just so neat. But then you look at them and you're like, if you're a guy who wants to be muscular, like I want to be, I would look at those guys 10 years ago and I'd be like, that's cool. He can do that. But I would rather look a certain way or be able to do other things. And so I would never migrate over in that world, because I feel like I would have to do all that and look like that to be that guy. And it doesn't have to be that way. There's a way to program design to where you can still have aesthetic goals and be muscular and still have performance type goals and still be functional.
Well, here's the kicker.
Right.
Here's the kicker. If you incorporate mobility properly, it will increase your ability to build muscle. It will increase your aesthetics. It will not take away from. It will contribute to your aesthetic goals as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an either or. It's not a takeaway. It's not you're doing that and doing a trade.
You don't need to be, you don't have to turn into some, you know, hippie guy who that's all he does is yoga shit and mobility stuff.
It's another tool that you should be applying, you know, quite frequently.
Absolutely.
Janelin P., what do you think about people who want to do a show just to check it off their bucket lists or prove that they can do it, or to achieve a higher level of fitness?
If you want to do it because it's really something you want to do and you've thought about it for a long time and it's on your bucket list, go ahead and have fun doing it. Go for it. If you're doing it because you think it's going to motivate you to get super fit, I would say don't do that, because you're more likely to A, develop bad relationship with food from the extreme dieting, B, after you achieve that pinnacle of fitness, or quote, it's not really a fitness pinnacle, but if you achieve that particular goal, you're going to fall way the fuck off when you're done. You've just finished your competition. The odds are you're going to go way off the deep end afterwards. And I'm sure, as Adam is probably going to go into here in just a second,
I want to hear Adam's perspective.
It doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to completely disagree. But I do think there's some things that I will say that I absolutely loved about competing, and then I'll tell you some things that I think is terrible. I don't think someone should do it at all, period, for any of those reasons. If you don't really know what you're doing, or you don't know for sure the person who's guiding you through this really knows what the fuck they're doing. Because then you get all the things that Sal just said. Miserable, put your body through things that are not healthy, and this... Honestly, the last 10 days was about the only real unhealthy part of what I did to my body. And to be honest with you, part of me wants to do a show again and try, and that be my goal to go all the way to stage time to be almost as healthy as I possibly can, since that's what we're supposed to be a representation of. And I believe I can do a pretty good job. Will I get the exact look to win first place? Maybe not, but I think I could present a pretty damn good physique doing it very, very healthy. But here's what I do love about it, and what I enjoyed about the whole journey for me. It taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about a lot of science and a lot of stuff that I kind of already knew, but until I had to apply it to an extreme level, I didn't realize how much certain things mattered, and wow, what a difference that made when I did this or I didn't do that. And I became very in tune and aware of my body. So I think I would actually highly recommend it to everybody who has that a mental approach into it, which is, I'm going to go into this one. I'm going to be guided by somebody who knows what the fuck they're doing, and I either trust 100% or I'm educated enough to do it myself. And I'm going to take myself to that level, because when you get down to a ridiculously low body fat percentage, although that would not be a healthy place to sustain or stay there for a long time, you'll learn a lot about your body. You learn a lot about your mentality. You learn a lot from that. And I think there's a lot of cool things to take away from it. But then there's a lot of ways you can fuck that up.
Yeah, I think that's a great distinctive point that you made there, because like me knowing this person that actually asked the question too, like she came to me having gone to the wrong type of a coach and having metabolic damage as a result and having like all this pain and things to deal with as a result of her experience with that. So I think that a lot of that is like throwing the caution flag out there to knowing that you're in good hands. And so that's a great point to bring up, because, you know, it, of course, like there's this drive that we all have, I think, to compete in something. And I think any time that you put yourself out into a situation where you're going to have to face adversity and you're going to have to really challenge yourself in new levels. Like, I mean, working out, we do that in a sense, if we really get into it, and there's nothing wrong with that. And in fact, it's healthy for us to do that, to compete in things. But I do definitely throw caution out there with that simple fact alone, that there's coaches out there that will really hurt you. And there's like a long process to recover from that. And we're just now, like with training with her, it's really becoming more apparent on how important recovery periods are, how important eating nourishing foods are, and all that sort of thing. So,
well, think about it like this: think if you wanted to be an Indy 500 car racer, you wanted to race Indy cars. That sounds like a lot of fun, even to me right now. And I can drive a car. So just because you can drive a car does not mean that you're ready to go race an Indy car by any means. And if you are going to get into racing an Indy car, you better fucking make sure that the person that you hire to teach you actually races the car and just doesn't know how to change the tires for the car. And that's what I see when I see like all these coaches. You got all these coaches that can change wheels to a fucking race car, but have never gotten in a race car themselves and actually know. And even if they have been in a race car, they've sat in the race car, but they don't know the mechanics of the race car. They don't understand how the car works. And if it were to break down, they wouldn't truly know how to fix the car.
They got the manual passed to them.
Yeah, exactly.
But they never actually worked on the engine.
They sat them in the car and they went around in circles and they got good at or got decent at doing it or whatever like that. But they really have no idea of how the mechanics of this vehicle works. Our bodies are like that, and taking it to that extreme is like driving in that extreme. You know, all of us that are probably, you know, thinking about doing this or competing, we all work out. We all drive cars. We all do that already. But taking it to that next level on that level is driving in an Indy car. So, you know, be very, very cautious to, you know, who you listen to for advice. And if you're doing it yourself, you know, make sure you read up and you educate yourself and are aware of what you're getting into, because it's real easy to crash that fucking car at 200 miles an hour.
500 days of fuck you.
We just keep letting him back in
every
here,
time.
I think you choose these questions just so I have to say it. Have you ever dealt with a client that had depression or anxiety, or have you ever had depression or anxiety?
Yeah, this is a great question. Studies now show pretty conclusively that proper exercise, is as effective as popular antidepressant drugs are for treating mild to moderate depression and anxiety. So exercise done properly, and I would say nutrition as well, are great remedies for depressive symptoms and anxiety. They do such a fantastic job. I've definitely had clients in this case. And I've always seen improvements. Now, whether or not there was a cure, I won't go that far. But I've definitely had clients come in and, you know, I have them do a medical questionnaire when we start. And, you know, some of them are on SSRIs and, which are, antidepressant drugs. Or they themselves will say they suffer from anxiety. And every single one of them has noticed a benefit. Now, that being said, I'm gonna go here. If you make exercise, you become fanatical about exercise and you have an unhealthy relationship with exercise, it will contribute to your depression and anxiety. So if you have a body image issue and you're working out and you're starving yourself and you're looking in the mirror and you see something different than what other people see, then you treat exercise like a drug and it will only make your depression and anxiety worse. I know someone who she did this to a point where she passed out in the gym and, you know, she had to get medical intervention because she overdid the hell out of it. And so it just became a part of her problem. So like anything, if used properly, it's effective. If used improperly, it can actually make things worse. Personally, for me, I'm actually going through something that's causing lots of some depression, anxiety. It's a personal issue, so I won't discuss it here. But exercise for me is the best fucking medicine. Are you kidding me? Like, if I miss a day of workout, I notice a huge difference, or a day of activity. So for me, that's it's such a big help, along with, of course, being on this podcast. It's very therapeutic. But when I go to the gym and I exercise, I immediately feel a million times better. And that feeling lingers and lasts until the next workout. So if you're one of those people and you feel like, man, I'm feeling down and out, you don't have to go hard. Just start with easy, light activity. But it's been proven now statistically to help you. So,
yeah, I would be really interested to read studies on what's going on from a hormonal level, on a cognitive level, all those things that are happening from the exercise that reflects depression. I think just mindset is such an important thing, especially when you're going through something like that. There's got to be something to be said about, you know, walking into a workout and going through it, whether it be an easy one or an intense one, it doesn't even matter. Just the fact of working out and accomplishing that has to have some sort of mental play of positive thoughts that, hey, I went in, I did something, right? I did something physical, my body accomplished it. Mm-hmm. There has to be some sort of hormones, dopamines that get accelerated.
Oh, yeah, exercise increases dopamine, increases your sensitivity to serotonin. It releases the other catecholamines, epinephrine, norepinephrine, which kind of pick you up. It balances hormones.
Isn't that what most all those antidepressants are trying to manipulate anyways? Isn't that what they mess with your serotonin levels and things like that anyway?
Not all of them, but a lot of them do. The popular ones, the SSRI, the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, increase the circulating serotonin in the brain, which then makes you, you know, feel better. Exercise also done properly will increase the release of dopamine and serotonin. And some science will show that it increases the sensitivity of your brain to serotonin. So you're more likely to feel love, empathy, and, you know, and that comes back to yourself. A lot of depression comes from not feeling those feelings. A lot of people think depression means sadness, but depression actually in many cases means empty, like lack of. I don't feel anything at all. Mm-hmm. And exercising helps you to feel.
Numbness. Well, it isn't that. Yeah, no, I just think of that too. Like a lot of times, I know somebody's been on antidepressant medication, and they just felt like just felt that numbness.
I don't know about you guys. I actually almost at all times have at least one or two clients that actually go through this. It's actually very common.
Super common.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's not. This isn't like a one-off. Oh, I've had one or two clients. Like at all times, I have probably a handful of clients.
Well, do you know what percentage of America is on some kind of antidepressant drug?
I don't. What is it?
I don't know, but I know I know it's big. I know it's a very. I know we're one of the top countries. We're not the top, but it's pretty large. They're one of the more prescribed drugs out there.
Yeah. Well, you pair anxiety with depression in there, and basically almost every client I have has got one or the other at one extent or another, and that's part of our job. I think as a trainer, I think that's part of what. Has evolved. Some of us is owning that and realizing that you want to be good at your craft. You better learn that piece of it too. Is how to talk to people and you know, emphasize with them and actually, you know how to motivate them in that area.
And again, why you don't always want to go with like hammering your your clients in a workout? What a stupid idea!
That's a great point.
That's what I meant by
talk about. So when we remember we did a little review on that stupid show that's out right now. What's it called? The Fat to Fit to Fat.
Oh yeah.
So. One of the things that just I go crazy because of course they cast these guys and it's all show. They're all horrific trainers, all of them. And unless they're being scripted and told to do that,
I feel like when doctors watch Grey Anatomy, you know, when real doctors watch Grey's Anatomy, they must cringe. When me and Adam are watching that fucking show, I wanted to throw something through the TV. These were the shittiest trainers.
They take somebody who is just morbidly obese and you start them off on their program and like right away their mentality is the cheerleader. We got to push hard. We got to go through this. And they push them till they literally break. Yeah. If you have somebody who is battling depression or anxiety, breaking them is probably the worst fucking thing you could do.
Oh my, it's not only bad, it's dangerous.
It's demoralizing as shit.
Well, you break someone who's got depression, you can go from mild, moderate depression to severe depression, which is dangerous.
It's like, hey, bro, you're fat. I just wanted to remind you how fat you are.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
how incompetent you are at these skills that I have.
When you're dealing with someone with depression, anxiety, it is the complete opposite approach than that. It's you're trying to build this person up. This person is probably, they're eating and they're in the place that they're at because they have been battling this depression and anxiety for so long that they probably ate themselves into the obesity that they're at right now. So being mindful of that as a trainer and knowing that I've got to pull this person out of that. Mm-hmm. And the best way of doing that is not reminding them how fucking incompetent they are by breaking them off in a workout. It's by building, hey, let's go for a walk today. Let's you and I walk today.
Let's have a chat.
Let's have a chat and we talk about food and nutrition and education and we just move. Focus on neat. We just move a little bit, burn a little bit of calories, and we celebrate that it's a new thing you weren't doing before.
Dude, I have clients that will come in to work out or request a workout because they're feeling down. That is the sign. That is a sign of a good trainer. And I'm not pumping myself up, but if you're a trainer and clients are coming to you and saying, you know what, I felt kind of down, but man, when I come and work out, I feel so good and happy afterwards.
Yeah.
You've done a good job.
You're creating an enjoyable experience.
Exactly. Doug, do you have a statistic there for us? Is that what you're showing me? What is that?
The highest percentage is among women ages 40 to 50.
40s to 50s, 23% of women are on antidepressants.
Whoa.
That's almost one out of every four people on antidepressants. That's incredible.
It's higher for women than men. Well, and that men also, around 14%.
Which makes sense since probably 80% of our clientele is women.
Yeah. You know why it's higher for women? I don't think it's because women suffer from depression more. I think it's because women seek help for depression more than women. It is, men are much less likely to go to the doctor and say, hey, I'm depressed.
Especially therapy.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's why the number's higher than women. And if it's at 23%, there's got to be a higher percentage that are suffering from depression that refuse any type of treatment. And we're not done. By the way, we're not knocking antidepressant drugs by any means. But I will say
that they have their place.
Of course, I will say this. Proper exercise and diet alleviates a lot of that. And I'd be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised.
Always start with that.
I wouldn't be surprised if that number was dropped considerably if more women exercised and ate right and did it all properly. Mm-hmm. So next question, sir.
Ryan Lee. What made you successful as trainers and separated you from the rest?
That's hilarious. No, I'll tell you why it's funny.
Fucking egos.
I'll tell you why that's funny. Because when I started...
Tell us why you're so good.
Because...
Please. Yeah. Please well, guys, me. I'll start. Yeah. Number one here.
I used to walk around with my shirt off. Yeah. This is why. Because when I first started as a trainer, I didn't know that much. I didn't know that much. I wasn't that good. I wasn't a great trainer in terms of programming. I was thirsty for knowledge, so I was constantly learning, but that's not what made me successful initially. What made me successful initially was that I worked my ass off. Mm-hmm. I was in the gym all the time. I was talking to everybody. I allowed my passion to come through, my passion for fitness to come through, and I talked to people, and people gravitated to me and wanted to work with me because of that passion. I later on developed my knowledge base and became an excellent, trainer. Yeah, his skills. But in the beginning, it was just I got in there and worked my ass off, and I was not afraid to talk to people.
And that's the secret sauce. It's the same experience. Worked hard, stayed there, lived there, breathed it, did everything I could do, asked a lot of questions, followed the best trainers around that I could possibly seek out, was hungry for knowledge, tried my best every single time with every client I ever had to overwhelm them with my own effort. And that really, I mean, people like to just dismiss the fact that it's just hard work. And hard work, it, as long as it's super focused, will take you to, you know, success. It's just, it's a formula that's time tested, but you know, it's not as sexy as what you want to hear as far as, well, I had this script that I use that would just kill it every time with every type of person. I'm such a good salesman and blah, blah. You know, that's all great. But it really amounts to your passion and your drive and your work ethic that's going to take you like miles above everybody else.
Among all the hundreds of trainers that have worked for me, I'd never had one that worked hard and was passionate that didn't succeed.
Yeah, there you go.
Every single one of them, from the worst one, succeeded as well as they wanted to, who just simply worked hard and had a passion for
it. Just pouring themselves into these people.
That's it.
I'll try and be a little less cliche about it. Just because I think that... Right,
how dare you?
No offense. I mean, I just feel like that's...
He's all I'm handsome.
Because I agree. I 100% agree with the boys for sure. I mean, it's... But I feel like that's the answer for every fucking business to be successful. Be passionate about it. Work your fucking ass. Work more than the next guy. Guess what? You're going to be successful. And it's true. And that should be your staple formula. But there's some things that I feel like, and I could probably speak for these gentlemen since, Justin and I worked together for a long time. I've been around Sal long enough to recognize his traits and things that he's like. And something that we all three have in common that neither one of these guys said that I think is... very fast. I'll give you an example, and this has been since day one for me, is in this career, I by far am not the smartest guy. When I first started, I think I was terrible, but I did have this hunger and this passion that the guys are talking about, and that hunger and passion, what I did to put it to work would be this, let's take an example of how this is applying to me right now. Right now, I'm still growing. I'm still learning. I'm still improving on being a better trainer and better at my craft. So performance is like Justin's baby. And the reason why it's his baby, because this is where his forte, it'd be like comparing aesthetics to me, because I bodybuilding world and aesthetics is what I've been driven in. And a lot of my reading and studying and program design has been centered around that. And performance is kind of his world. So right now I'm living in his world of his expertise of mobility and functional training and performance. And I'm going through that. Now, the type of person that I am, instead of trying to be arrogant and cocky about it and be like, I know more than him, or I have a chip on my shoulder because I'm already a very educated, smart trainer, probably smarter than fucking 90% of the trainers that are out there. I still will humble myself, not only suck up every bit of information that I can get from him, but now, and like you'll see what I'm doing right now, is I'm fully dove into this world. I'm all about mobility right now. I'm constantly reading and learning myself and practicing and applying in the gym, and I will become a fucking master at it. And I will not stop until I am recognized as somebody who is a master in that. Mm-hmm. My entire career has been that way. It doesn't matter what part of the career it is, whether it be a sales aspect, whether it be my personal skills, my social awareness with people, my ability to lead people. All these skill sets are skills that will make you an incredibly talented trainer. And all trainers possess some of these skills somewhat, or they have one of them that they're really strong in. And the problem is so many of them allow ego to get in the way, mm-hmm. and never grow and develop in all the other areas because they find a way to become somewhat successful because of one way or dogma has worked for them, that they close their blinder. They have blinders on and they don't allow themselves to continue to evolve and grow. I embrace that shit. Yeah. If I find something that I am not a master in, I want to learn. I want to master it. I want to fail at it. I want to suck at it. Make fun of me because I'm not mobile right now. Mm-hmm. Make fun of me when I'm mm-hmm. in there doing an exercise that I look like a pussy while I'm doing it because I'm not good at it. I don't give a shit because I'm mastering that craft right now.
You're talking about the growth mindset, and that's such a great point because, yeah, you're right. I do say that in each one of you guys, and I, you know, myself included, I have no problem putting myself out there, being ridiculed in order for me to grow as a person and to master this avenue that I'm seeking. But the other point to that then too is like, you do what you say you're going to do. You know what I mean? And I feel like each one of us, like Sally's like, you know, I'm going to sell my gym and I'm going to be all about this. And that was it. Like, I don't question him on any of his decision-making process. Cause I know that, you know, when we make a decision, like people know you because you're going to do it. And that's integrity. That's integrity. And it's being authentic. And I feel like that's such a big piece to all this.
You can't, you know what? I'll tell you what. Integrity is, especially for a trainer. Let me give you guys an example. We have a trainer. I'm not going to say his name.
Committed.
We have a trainer who has been training clients in the gym that I train at, which I used to own, right? And when I watch this guy train, he's an excellent trainer. He's actually one of the better trainers I've seen. He knows his shit. He trains people excellent. Good, you know, warm-up, functional warm-ups, mobility. He's good on the power lifts. He's good on the strength training. He's good on modifying his programming for depending on the client, whether they're old or young. Very, very good. Okay. He has now no-showed three separate clients three times.
Ugh.
Right? Just doesn't fucking show up.
Yeah.
And, oh, no, my schedule, I messed up. That is fucking stupid. That is that right there. If he worked for me, I would have booted his ass so fast mm-hmm. because that is an amateur stupid mistake. And as a trainer, if you lose your integrity, you've lost. You are not going to be successful. Yeah. A trainer with no integrity is a shitty trainer. I don't care how much knowledge you have and what you know. So what Justin was talking about, integrity, definitely have integrity. If you say something to your client, you better fucking deliver and you better be there for them. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that, then they're going to be there for you.
Well, you know, we talked about this in a previous podcast where we talked about the biggest mistake that you can make as a trainer. And I mentioned tying yourself to a one way or a dogma, right? Because you know, maybe it's, you know, right now it's hot or that's what everyone's doing. You know, if you become a trainer, then that's part of having integrity, you know, is being the ability to, hey, I don't know for sure. Or, you know, let me look that up or let me research that. I still to this day do that all the time. If someone asks me a question and I don't have a very educated answer for mm-hmm. them right then and there, I will tell them. I'll say, you know what, this, it could be that. I'm not sure. Let me read a little bit on it and get back to you. And then I'll probably be able to give you some better advice on that. Or let me ask somebody who I know is very intelligent in that area. And so many trainers are afraid to do that.
They feel like they have to know everything.
Yes, they feel like they need to be. I was just mentoring a trainer the other day about that. And I'm talking to her about, you know, coming to me and asking me questions like that. I'm like, you know, ask me if you don't know. You know, don't try and figure it out yourself, or don't shy away from it to explain to a person because somebody asks you and then you get nervous and you don't want to talk about it because you don't know. Say, I don't know. But I do know Adam knows, and I'll ask him, and you know he'll be able to explain that better. It's okay to do that.
Yeah.
You know, people will respect that when you do that. Just because where you'll lose respect and you'll lose that integrity is trying to bullshit your way through it. Dude. And then that comes out, and then you'll be forever tainted with that person and anybody that's connected to that person. Because that person will say, oh, yeah, no, I talked to him. He was, you know, talking about this bullshit, you know. So you got to be careful.
Yeah, and bringing in professionals, like you said, too. Like, you're not trying to be the jack of all trades. You're trying to stay, you know, very focused with what you're providing with service. And then you're enhancing that experience by bringing other, like, super specialized, qualified people into the mix.
Absolutely.
Fit to Be Soon is asking, would you be a living organ donor?
Mm.
To who?
A family and friends.
I'd give Justin an organ.
Yeah.
Which one? Sweet.
You do that every day.
damn it.
Gotcha.
Fuck, I set myself up with that one.
Yeah.
Genitals aren't organs, are they?
To family members, I mean, for sure. If it was like, I mean, someone important to me, yeah, I'd give them everything. I'd sacrifice my life for them. To just a random person, wow, that's a powerful thing to ask.
While I'm alive? While I'm dead, sure, take it.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know. What I'm saying is, like, if I had to give a body part which would kill me to save my, you know, my family member, someone close to me, I would even do that. But that's a very powerful question, you know. I recently have really come to terms with how I define success. And trust me, I'm still on the subject.
I was wondering where you go. I'm like, no. One of those definitions is having your organs?
No, I'm still on the subject. No, I'll tell you what.
Truly successful. Yeah. I've made it this far and I have all my organs. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's, you know, for some people, success is monetary. And for me, you know, I've tied a little bit of success to that, but for me, it's never been monetary. And I really came to that realization more recently. I mean, I'll give you an example. I was 19 years old. I was managing gyms. This is back in like 1999 or 98. I was making well over six figures, and I drove a fucking Volkswagen. I lived with my parents. To me,
he still drives that Volkswagen.
Not the same one, but I still. to me, that's not what I derive, fulfillment and pleasure out of. I derive fulfillment and pleasure out of helping people. And so when this question, when Doug just posed this, and then, you know, you're thinking like to anybody, wow, that's a powerful thing to say, to be able to donate one of your organs while you're alive, like one of your kidneys, to somebody who might need it. I mean, I would, anybody who did that would have the utmost respect for. That would be an amazing thing. I don't know if I'd be able to do it. I don't know. I'll think about it. That's interesting.
I would have to be moved. To do that.
They'd have to close you.
Yeah, I mean, somebody could. Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, let's be honest. If you just knocked on my door and said, hey, bro, I need to borrow a kidney. Can I have one? And I don't know who you are. Like, no, but, well, you know, maybe it's
two.
Maybe it's somebody who, you know, everything's compatible. So, you know, it would work. You know that, you know, this person is a very important person in your life. Maybe they're not a family or friend, but they're just important. The role they've played, whether it be a mentorship or they've done something very special in the world, that you feel like that person is more important than you. And you've been moved that way, where that's the only way I'd feel inclined to give one of my organs while I'm still alive to somebody. Yeah. You know, if it's not.
Well, is it just when you're still alive? Because I know that, like.
Well, it's a big deal when you're dead.
Yeah,
right?
It's not, but it is for some people in their culture and their, you know, religious practice or whatever.
Really?
It is. Yeah, like.
Oh, I don't give a shit.
That's silly. I don't either. Yeah. Obviously, yeah.
Put it up to science, yeah, you know?
Exactly. Like, take my organs, brains, balls, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Can you donate balls?
I would hope so.
Because I'm sure they analyze everything.
Somebody could use them.
Well, I'm asking because I have too
many.
I have too many.
You got too many.
Yeah, so I just might as well donate some of them.
Your third one needs to go to the orphans somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be powerful to give somebody an organ like that. I mean, I think that would be the ultimate.
We're not talking about balls anymore.
No.
Yeah.
I'll put it in a box full of ice.
No, I'd love to give somebody my heart. You know, like that. I always hear stories like that. Like, you know, when they're rushing the heart to somebody, you know, right as this person died. And then, you know, it kept them alive and it changed their whole life. Like, that's powerful stuff.
It is.
So, you know, for me, having, you know, being a living organ donor, you know, I could see it, because it's tough for me to say no to people in need that are like really in need. You know what I mean? If they come, they come at me with this story, and I don't know though. It would be a that's very tough to decision. It yeah, would, I don't. I'm not throwing that out there.
That's good to know. I just got my blood worked. My kidneys are pretty much shut. I'm gonna need one of those, Justin.
I'm running on one adrenal gland already, so I don't want to like start, you know, having una everything. You know what I mean?
Justin's liver is incredibly efficient and effective. They can metabolize alcohol.
Like, damn, I know.
We're going to take half your liver and give it to five people.
Whiskey.
Oh, shit.
With that, leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes. Check out our testimonials at mindpumpmedia.com. And don't forget to check us out on Instagram at mindpumpradio. You can find me at mindpumpsal. You can find Justin at mindpumpjustin. You can find Adam at mindpumpadam. And you can find Doug at Mind Pump Dog.
Look at the Facebook page also at Mind Pump.
Post Mind Pump cool. Show. Mind Pump Show, Facebook.
Yep.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.